One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Hey, I'm Steph.
I'm Alex.
And this is Not Today.
And we're live.
Hello.
How are you?
Well,
you know.
The election has happened. It is tough. It is a tough time, period. End of sentence.
Yep.
You know, I would love to live in some boring times. I'm really, really getting sick of living through major historical events. I would love some mundanity. Nothingness kind of boring times. So, you know, we're doing our best over here. We're trying to prioritize mental health a little bit. We're trying to take care of ourselves.
Stay off of TikTok.
Well, as much as we can. Yeah, I don't really want to get into it. I feel like this is our time to kind of not think about things that are going on. So,
yeah.
I don't even know. I feel like maybe at some point I'll have something else to say, but right now I'm feeling
not great.
Not great. Yeah. Thank you for finishing that sentence.
You're welcome.
But hey, let's talk about some Reddit Let's Not Meet stories.
Ooh, okay. So this is funny. I did not know what was going on.
Oh, you just
coming
came
into
in,
this. I just show up.
Came in here blindly. That's very brave.
I love short stories.
Yeah, and
I do.
Over on Patreon, we had a Reddit Let's Not Meet episode that our patrons voted on recently, and that was a really fun episode. We talked about some really scary stories over there. The pizza guy. Remember the pizza guy?
Oh yeah, guys, you gotta subscribe. I mean, now I'm remembering that one. It's just like the reaction I had was like, you can't write this.
Yeah, it sounds crazy.
It was scary, but there's also like some funny parts to it for sure.
Yes.
So
he basically saved a girl's life by accidentally
pissing on the assailant.
Yeah, he accidentally peed on the assailant. Well, he was just trying to deliver a pizza, and there was nowhere for there was no bathroom. So
he was just trying to deliver a piss.
He peed
like a normal guy
in a bush, and it just so happened to be where there was a hiding man. So that's a really fun story. I mean, it's horrifying, obviously, but there is a lightheartedness to it because pee is inherently funny. And today,
the guy kind of deserved it.
Oh, absolutely. 100,000%.
Yeah.
He deserved all the piss he got. but anyway, that story is over on Patreon. A bunch of others are as well. Yeah. Today, we're going to be talking about more Reddit Let's Not Meet stories. And I feel like our overarching theme is creeps and stalkers.
Fun.
Yeah. It's gonna be creepy, and then at the end we'll end off on a lighthearted one.
Okay,
you a little bit of a
Let's go out on a
preview.
Better note.
Yes.
Sure.
So our first one was posted 11 years ago, and it is titled "Stranger Under the Bed."
Under the bed.
Yeah. So
what the fuck, dude?
I am 22, and this incident happened a year and a half ago. I had just moved into my first apartment and was in the process of moving in. The door that led into my apartment locks itself automatically when closed, so I was going to the entrance of the apartment complex to get my mail while talking on the phone with my boyfriend. I returned to my apartment and sat on the bed while opening the mail while using the phone. I dropped the phone on the floor and it landed under the bed, so I had to lie on the floor and stretch for it. I saw something that caught my eye. There was someone under my bed.
It caught your eye. Oh my God.
My eyes widened and I choked the urge to scream. The person under my bed was lying still with his back toward me and his head to his chest, so I couldn't see his face. And he didn't see me, trying to be rational while so many thoughts rushed through my head. I picked up the phone, said, "Sorry, I dropped my phone. I'm just going to take a shower and call you back." The bathroom is right by my bed, so I hastily walked in, quietly locked the door, and turned the shower on, and jumped out of my window. My apartment is on the first floor. And called the police. They told me to wait nearby, but to go across the street and see if anyone comes out the door to my apartment complex. This was during summer, and it was still light out. I placed myself across the street, hiding behind a car while watching my open bathroom window and the entry door. I called my boyfriend and he came to me just before the police. I gave them my keys and then they went inside. Only moments later, two cops came out holding a thin and tired-looking man. His eyes looked crazy, but he didn't try to get away. The policeman that had stood beside me and comforted me while the police searched through my house, in parentheses, I was a mess, shivering and crying, told me that the man stood outside my bathroom door with one of my kitchen knives waiting for me to come out.
What the fuck? Why would you tell her that, though?
I mean, that's just what happened. That's where they found him.
I guess, but Jesus, that's terrifying.
Yeah. This man had somehow crept in my entry door while I was getting my mail and hid under my bed. The man that was trying to hurt me turned out to be a homeless person and was placed in a mental hospital. My boyfriend moved in with me the very next day. Thanks for reading. I just wanted to share my story so that others might know what to do if a situation like this occurs. The police told me that what I did was truly amazing and rational. If I had screamed, this could have ended really badly for me. And that's the end.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you don't keep your cool. I mean, it's lucky that he was facing the other way.
Yeah. Yeah, if he was facing out and she looked under the bed and they made eye contact, that would have been bad.
Yeah, I mean, she would have gotten a head start, but yeah.
That's a nightmare. That is like so many people's actual nightmare.
I mean, it's literally the monster under the bed.
Yeah, and it was the middle of the day.
Yeah, middle of the day.
Like you're on the phone, you're just having a normal afternoon and you drop something and you go to pick it up and you see someone under your bed. Like that.
I don't know. That's like some things happen for a reason type of.
That's like some horror movie type shit.
Well, if she didn't drop her phone, she would have gotten killed.
Oh, yeah. No, totally. It's unbelievable that she was able to find him there because clearly he was going to act quickly because she was like, I'm going to go take a shower. And he immediately got out from under the bed and grabbed a kitchen knife. Terrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope that man is getting the help he needs. Like, it sounds like he's
also locked away.
Yeah. Well, sure. Yeah. He definitely should not be out in society if that is what he's going to do. So that's, I just hope he got help, you know?
Yeah.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
Anyway, on to story number two. It's titled, A Man Approached Me at the Bus Station When I Was 15. He then tried to kidnap me and stalked me. This happened in 1996 in my hometown of about 100,000 people. I was 15 years old from the suburbs and went to a high school in the city. English is not my first language, so I apologize for any grammatical mistakes. I finished with class, and for some reason, I decided to walk to the main bus station instead of just waiting at the nearest bus stop. I stood at the gate that my bus line, number 15, starts from. Another bus line, number 17, also starts from the same gate. After walking for around 10 minutes, a man asked me if bus number 17 had taken off yet. I say, yes, I'm sorry, you've just missed it. The man, who looked to be around 30 or 40, then introduced himself to me as Mark. He stretched out his hand for me to shake it, and I don't want to be impolite, so I do. I introduce myself as Maya. My name is not Maya. It was bizarre to me that a grown man is introducing himself to me at a bus station. I may have been 15, but I knew better. He asked me if I finished school. I said yes. He asked me what school I go to. I lie. He asked me if I'm going home. I say no, even though I am. He asked where I'm going. I say to a friend's house. My bus pulls up and I get on it. Strangely, this man, Mark, gets on as well. I know for a fact he asked me if number 17 had taken off yet. If he was originally planning on going on number 17, there is absolutely no reason to get on my bus, number 15. They don't have a single stop in common. I sit down and he sits himself next to me. He asks me which year of high school I'm in. I lie. I say I'm a junior. I was actually a freshman at the time. He says I look too young to be a junior. I say I hear that all the time. He asked me if I have a boyfriend, and I said no. He says that I should. I then asked him where he is going. He says he's going home. I ask if he wasn't planning on taking number 17, and he says no and tells me he lives at the very end of the bus line 15. That was odd. I've never seen him on the bus before. He asked me if I'm on my way home as well, and I say no, I'm visiting a friend. Looking back, he knew I was lying. I was sure he believed me, and I really thought I had the situation under control. I should have walked up to the bus driver and told him what was going on. I didn't, because I just wasn't scared enough, and I didn't want to make a scene out of nothing. There was plenty of people around, and while he was strange, I really thought he was just a harmless, lonely weirdo. We get to my stop, and I purposely miss it and get off at the next one, thinking I'll fool him and then just walk home a bit longer. To my surprise, he got off as well. I ask him where he's going, and he says he wants to walk me home. Again, I tell him that I'm not going home, I'm visiting a friend. He says that's fine, he'll walk me. I say he really doesn't need to, and in a stern, irritated tone, he tells me to shut up and walk. There is no one on the street. We're the only ones who got off the bus here. I'm alone with this weird man who followed me from the bus station. I can't go home because I don't want him knowing where I live. I start panicking. I don't know what to do, so I just freeze and stand there silent. In an instant, he went from weird but chatty and smiley to telling me to shut up. I went from feeling in control to knowing I really, really fucked up. He put his hand on my shoulder and told me he doesn't have much time, so we should get going. I want to tell him that he clearly does, but I don't want to anger him, so I just nod. He tells me that if I'm good, I don't have to be scared of him. I lie and say I'm not. He asks me if that means I plan on being good. I say yes. He forced me to repeat it in a whole sentence. Yes, I will be good. I begin walking. I don't know where I was going, I just walked. He walked with me, with his hand still on my shoulder. I was never religious, but I remember praying that I don't pass out. My heart was beating so fast and breathing was so difficult. I was sure I'm about to collapse and die. Then I spotted an older man tending his garden in front of a house. That's the last thing I clearly remember. I have a vague memory of running. I was later told that I was screaming for help while running toward the older man while Mark ran off. The older man called the police and they contacted my parents. The police couldn't do anything but take my statement. Since my parents both worked and couldn't take me to and from school, they bought me a phone the very same day. This was in the 90s, when mobile phones were a luxury. And I wish the story ended here. After the event, I only ever got on the bus at the stop right in front of my school. A few weeks passed, and I did so like I did any other day. We locked eyes as soon as I stepped on. He was on the bus, with the biggest grin on his face, like he couldn't be more excited to see me. I was so creeped out. I immediately got off and ran into the school. I called my mom in tears, and she had me find a teacher to walk me to her car when she came to get me. The school was then notified of the situation. After that, he was spotted walking around the school several times, sometimes a few days in a row, but sometimes he wasn't seen for weeks. The police was of no help. They couldn't do anything until he actually hurt me or showed up on school property or at my home. I spent the rest of the year waiting in the school until late afternoon so my mom could pick me up after work. We always took a very long route home. I now know she was making sure we weren't being followed. My parents then had me switch schools. Thankfully, he was never spotted in my neighborhood, and I'm very sure he never found out my name or got my address. I only ever saw him one more time. I was 21, in my hometown, on summer break from university.
21?
Yeah. I saw him in a grocery store, in a whole different part of town. He didn't recognize me, didn't even look at me, but I immediately recognized him. Where I live, there is no quote-unquote convicted criminal list, like in the U.S. Such cases are not reported, and I never found out the man's full name. I have no idea who he is or what he has done in the past. I don't know what he would have done to me. My belief is that he was mentally challenged, saw me, liked me, and followed me. My mother believes that it had been much more complex, that he was planning to do something, and that he knew exactly where we were going. My dad still doesn't talk about it. I'm just happy he's out of my life.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
How terrifying. I mean, it's one thing to have that initial experience, but it's another to have it be persistent.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. I mean, like, it's just, it brings out like the craziest reactions in me. Like I'm like, if I was that father, I'm like giving my daughter a gun
of shit.
You know what I mean? Or like at least pepper spray.
Yeah. You're not going to give your daughter a gun.
I'm like, that's, fucking shoot him. Like,
that's ridiculous.
I know. But I would have to take a beat,
yes,
and bring myself
and
off
breathe,
the ledge.
And yeah, then
off the ledge. I don't know. That's so, it's just terrifying.
It is,
especially
terrifying
as a parent.
Yes, you know? Absolutely. And I
and like as definitely as her.
Well, yes, obviously.
Of course.
Definitely, but as her.
You know.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Because also at 15 years old, like you
she
still.
She had a lot of sense.
Yes, she definitely had a lot of sense. But you still have that like, I'm invincible type mentality, like that nothing bad can really happen to me until something really goes bad. And then you're like, oh shit. And that was the moment she had. She was like, you know, I thought I was in control. I was lying to him. But like looking back on it, he definitely knew I was lying. And she didn't really fully grasp how bad of a situation she was in until he got off the bus with her and was like, shut up and walk and you're going to be good.
Yeah.
It's so scary. And yeah, the thought of her getting on the bus at her school, like bus stop, and then making eye contact with him. And then he's seen walking around the like sidewalk near the school, like multiple times a week. Horrifying. What was that? Like,
yeah.
Oh, it's so scary to think about. But yeah, I'm very glad that nothing happened, like nothing came of it. And, you know, she had that kind of full circle moment at 21 where she saw him and he didn't recognize her. And then, you know, I mean, it's still scary, but.
Yeah, it was like 6 years later. I thought he was still at it. But yeah, geez, what a way to go to the grocery store.
Yeah, that's tough. Well, shall we move on to story number three?
Let's do it.
Okay, this one is titled Terrifying Encounter at a Wedding.
At a wedding?
Yeah. I went to a wedding of my friend Courtney about 2 days ago, and I still can't shake my mind over what happened. For context, I grew up in a very religious household and went to church every Sunday, and Courtney is probably the only person from my old church that I still keep in contact with. The situation started at the reception. Courtney was super excited to see me and was definitely the only person who felt that way, judging from all the stares from the people at my old church. I sat down at my table and started playing something on my phone when some guy sat next to me. He said that the seating chart said that he was supposed to sit at my table and introduced himself as the groom's friend, Anthony. He was pretty cute, so I spent a lot of time talking to him and we really hit it off. He didn't seem to judge me for being atheist and seemed genuinely interested in me. When the dance started, they started playing Brown Eyed Girl and he offered to dance with me. We danced together for most of the night until he left to go to the bathroom, and a little later I did too. When I came out, I saw that my purse wasn't on the table, which was weird because I swore I left it on there. I was tired and thought I had just left it in my car. So I went in the parking lot and into my car to look for it and found it on the center console. I still thought it was weird because I really thought I had brought it inside. But at that point, it was pretty late in the night, so I didn't think much of it. I danced some more and noticed Anthony was gone. I asked the groom, who said he had gone home because he wasn't feeling too well. Pretty soon, I felt pretty sick too, so I said bye to Courtney and went to my car. As I put my keys in the ignition, I looked behind me and saw something weird. It looked like something had ducked down from the trunk. I took my keys out and looked back there, and that was when I saw him. Anthony was crouched down in the trunk of my car. I started screaming and ran out with him chasing after me. I went inside and told Courtney, who immediately told her husband, who walked me back to my car where Anthony was nowhere to be seen. Courtney's husband said that he didn't see his car anywhere, so he probably left. I left, and I still feel sick to my stomach thinking about it. He could have easily gone home with me and killed me if I hadn't looked back. Courtney said that she feels terrible that she invited him and that she had no idea he would do that. I haven't stepped out of my house since because I'm worried that if I do, he'll be waiting for me like he was before. And that's where the initial story ends, but then I have an update.
Okay.
So the update is the last couple of days have been kind of crazy, so I haven't had the chance to look, but thank you for all your advice that I wish I'd have known about earlier. Tough sentence. Okay. Unfortunately, my address was on my ID, and as I learned now, Anthony took photos of it.
Whoa.
Anthony and the groom aren't exactly friends, but they know each other well enough for him to have been invited. After the whole fiasco, the groom tried to text Anthony about it, but got no response. Anthony showed up at my job and lurking around the parking lot before he ran off when he saw security. He left me a note on my windshield that just says, "I'm watching." Security at my job has been notified about him, so hopefully I'm safe there. I was told by other people that went to the wedding that he was introducing himself as my boyfriend and that he was planning on proposing. I'm currently trying to file a restraining order against him and feel horrified. He lives in my city and knows where I live, so I'm staying at my aunt's house as I speak. If anything happens, I will update again.
This is just so frustrating because the cops won't do anything.
Yeah.
But it's so clearly a threat.
I mean, yeah, the fact that he was in the back of her car.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that a crime?
I don't know. It seems
breaking and entering to the car. I don't know if that's only for homes.
I mean, and he's hiding back there, and God only knows what he was planning on doing. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, that just sucks. I mean, it's just because there's nothing you can do really except be scared and take precautions.
That's true. Yeah, a lot of the stalker stuff is just like. Jeez,
yeah, you just feel helpless.
There really needs to be better laws around stalking.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be some way to demonstrate an active threat to a point where, you know, it wouldn't be like you wouldn't put people who hadn't done anything in jail.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know. This is clearly a problem.
Yeah,
right?
it's a tough line to walk because, yeah, you don't want to like put someone away who hasn't done anything, but also that's kind of the problem is like a lot of the times you can't get anything done from police, at least if they haven't done anything. So it's like they're kind of just waiting for like a violent action to occur before anything can happen. But like, do you really want to get to that point where it's like there should be something that can be done before it gets violent, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. You can't threaten violence directly to somebody. I'm pretty sure that's not covered by free speech. So I wonder if you could have some definition like multiple threats of violence. I don't know, because yeah, he's like leaving her notes.
Yeah, but there's also so many like loopholes. It's like I'm watching isn't necessarily I'm going to, you know, kill you.
Yeah.
That's just like ominous language. Like, how do you?
That's true.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm looking at the comments on the post and someone said, "I hope that Courtney and her hubby followed through with the new knowledge of their quote-unquote friend." And OP said, "The groom who I'll call James says he's always known Anthony has been a bit weird, but he didn't think of him as that weird."
Yeah, I would say dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Do they know where he lives? Like, they had to send him an RSVP.
Yeah, they definitely know where he lives. I mean, what's that going to do?
Like, hey, why did you do that? Maybe stop doing that.
Yeah. But also,
at least,
if he's
at least give it a shot. I mean, what else are you gonna do?
Yeah, but if he's that weird, like, I'm sure they don't want to
have the guy go do it, you know?
Yeah.
Or have the police. I don't know.
Yeah, and what OP is commenting as well is, like, in the actual wedding, he didn't seem creepy. Like, they were saying, if anything, he seemed like someone I'd go out on a date with or even be in a relationship with.
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring this up, but I was like, yeah, if he just would have kept dancing with her, he would have probably been able to go on a date with her, you know?
Yeah, well, he's clearly not a good person.
No, I'm just saying, it's wild.
Yeah, it is wild. Anyway, why don't we move on to story number 4.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Is this the lighthearted one?
Not yet.
Okay.
I'm realizing now that they're all quite unsettling, so I'm sorry about that. Okay, our next story is titled Someone Impersonated My Sister and Invited Me to the Shadiest Part of Los Angeles.
Well, what's the shadiest part of Los Angeles?
They don't say in the post, but it's like downtown LA.
Okay.
Last year, I started law school in Los Angeles. I have never lived in a big city before, and I was really excited to be in a massive city with over 4 million people. Ever since I was little, I always knew I had a half-sister in LA, but my parents had this weird anger toward her that always made it feel like a taboo topic. Of course, I had to look her up on social media, and I knew what she looked like, but that was about all. We had never actually met. She was never that active on social media, so there wasn't a lot I could see. Out of nowhere, one day in my first year of law school, I got a friend request on Facebook from my sister. Her profile seemed legitimate. She had Facebook friends, and her profile picture looked like her. She sent me a message inviting me to a little dinner party at the park with her friends. We could finally meet each other for the first time. I was new to LA, still am, and had no idea which parts of the city to avoid at night. I was so excited about that idea, but I had a lot of anxiety about it too. It would be nice if we met, totally clicked, and became besties for life, but what if we ended up sobbing like we were in some dramatic movie scene? What if I tried to talk with her and she just didn't click with me and she started showing me an attitude? Or worse, what if it was all going well until we had some kind of disagreement, someone said something hurtful, and then we were both crying in front of everyone?
It's the chance you take.
Sure. Honestly, if she had suggested a cozy little bakery for desserts instead, I would have gone. But going to a park with other people didn't feel right. I thought it was like such a precious moment that I didn't want to have in front of all of these other people. I couldn't bring myself to go. I didn't want to risk having a meltdown in front of other people. I was worried about how messy it could get. A few weeks later, I Googled that park just to see what it was like. Maybe we could meet up there together just one-on-one. That's when I learned something was wrong. I won't say the name of the park, but anyone who has lived in LA for long will tell you that it's not a safe place for girls to be having a dinner party at night. The area surrounding that park has very high violent crime rates. It's controlled by gangs. Even people who do illegal business in that park are forced to pay a tax to the gang in exchange for being left alone. So now I was really concerned and curious. I actually tried to get a hold of my sister myself. She was an undergrad at the time, at a local college. I had a friend who went to her school, so I asked my friend to reach out to her on campus and ask if she'd be okay with meeting us. They connected, and the three of us met at my friend's house. It was great. We got along so well. My friend was also very happy to do that for us. The three of us had so much fun. We weren't bursting in tears, but we let out a few. We had dinner, we watched a movie, and we spent the night at my friend's house. When I told my sister about the whole thing, she said she hadn't used Facebook since high school, so clearly someone was impersonating her. I would have told her to report the fake account, but it had already been deleted. She knew she had been impersonated on social media, though. Another one of her friends had been scammed by someone pretending to be her. It was some scheme involving fake concert tickets or something like that. Someone had been impersonating my sister, they knew I was in town, and they literally tried to lure me into the most dangerous parts of LA at night. I had no idea what their motives were. I don't know if I even want to find out. Meeting my sister after all these years was a beautiful thing, but the whole backdrop was terrifying.
Yeah, that's pretty scary. Yeah, to just have a dinner with a group of friends at night, you've never met this person. It doesn't really matter if they're family or not. That's just very strange.
Yeah, very scary. And someone did comment the name of the park. So it's MacArthur Park, apparently.
MacArthur.
I honestly haven't heard of it because we never spent any time downtown. So I don't know. But OP did confirm, whoa, someone's suggesting that the sister was in on it. They're saying, also just throwing it out there for you to think about, maybe your sister was a part of the plan of luring you into the park with bad intentions. You don't know her that well. First impressions can be deceiving. Moreover, your parents don't like her for some reason, don't they? Think about it, and at least be careful before you know her better. And Opie said, yeah, that's possible.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, do they know the reason why her parents don't like their daughter?
No, she just said it was a taboo topic, like they couldn't really talk about it.
They never told her why? I mean, that's insane. Why would you never... Like, that's your full-blood sister.
Half-sister.
Is it her dad or her mom's?
They don't specify, but I'm assuming maybe it's the dad's and the, you know, like it's... Maybe it was like a cheating thing or something. Like, it could have been something... Like, they just don't like to talk about it because it's just a sore point in their marriage or something or a relationship. But yeah, I mean, even OP was like, yeah, I guess that's possible, which is crazy. Although it seems...
That'd be a stretch.
It feels like a stretch to me. And honestly, like, they said that they met the sister with the friend and they had a great night together and whatever. So, I don't know. If there was any kind of sinister vibes, you would hope she would pick up on it.
Just don't go to places alone maybe for a little while.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You gotta
don't go to MacArthur Park at night with her.
Yeah, maybe don't. Yep, someone said, that's super strange. How did that person know your sister's personal info to lure you to such a dangerous location? Did you tell anyone about her? And OP said, I probably had at some point. I did mention it to people in my family, like cousins. I used to say I'm curious about my sister, what she's like in person. I don't think any of my cousins really cared, but maybe they had something to do with it. No idea.
Oh, yeah, that's really interesting. Like... How did the person impersonating her know the connection?
Yeah, exactly. Because they didn't have any, like, connection really online, it seems. Like, it was just, like, they vaguely knew each other's names. Like, it...
Yeah, and the sister said she hadn't had a Facebook account for years.
Yeah, she hadn't used it
since high
school.
And they don't have the same last name.
Right. Weird. This is a weird one.
Yeah, a little mystery.
All right, on to the next. This next story is titled, A Random Guy Saved Me From Being Drugged. This happened this Saturday, 2 days ago. I'm a 19-year-old freshman at uni who moved from a fairly small town to a big city. There was a guy I talked to over Tinder for around 2 weeks. He was cute and seemed nice. We had a lot in common. He even studied at the same university. He was older, though. He had already had a degree and was now doing post-grad. The first time we ever met, we went out to grab a coffee on Monday. Exactly a week ago. I had a great time, and when he asked me if I'd like to get drinks, since the drinking age here is 18, on Saturday, I happily said yes. We met up at a local bar and talked without a moment of awkwardness for 2 hours. We really clicked. I had to go to the bathroom, and when I came back, a man was waiting for me outside the toilet. He stopped me and told me the guy sitting at my table put something in my drink and asked if I wanted him to call the police. I thanked him, but said no, everything's fine. And went back to my table. I really liked the guy and wanted to believe that the random man was just pranking me. Still, I wasn't willing to risk it, so I told him directly what happened. I said, I'm sorry, this sounds insane, but after I got out of the bathroom, some random guy told me you put something in my drink. He laughed and said, that's insane, as if we were giggling at the situation together. He wasn't serious about it at all. I apologized and said, I don't think he did that, not at all, but I'd be much more at peace if he chugged my drink, just so I'd know the random guy was pranking me, because nothing like this has ever happened to me before. I apologized again and said, the drinks are on me, and I'm very sorry to make the situation awkward. He said that's absolutely not a problem, he just had to go pee first. I waited. After 15 minutes, I realized he was not coming back. I waited around for a little bit longer, and after half an hour, I paid and went home. Upon getting home, I checked my Tinder and saw he had deleted his account. Okay, maybe he thought I'm so insane our date made him delete the app.
No.
Still, yeah, no. Still, it bothered me. I Googled him and found nothing. Today, I went to the records office at my uni and asked if a person with his name was studying here. The lady working there told me that's private information she can't share. I then asked if a person with his name has ever obtained a degree from this university. She looked it up and told me that no, no one with his name has ever obtained a degree here. He lied to me. He told me he did his undergraduate degree at my uni. He hasn't. Or alternatively, he told me a fake name. I'm now sure that he had terrible intentions and did spike my drink. I was more than lucky that someone noticed. I have no idea what he'd do to me had I drank that, and I don't really want to know. I'm still a bit creeped out about the whole situation. I did delete Tinder, and I'm very glad I didn't give him my phone number or my address. He did offer to pick me up, and I cleverly said no, yet dumbly told him that the coffee place we met up at is walking distance to my apartment. So he knows the area I live in, as well as my first and last name and where I study. I don't think there's anything I can do about it, though. I seriously doubt he even gave me his real name. To the random Tinder guy who lied to me and probably tried to drug me, let's not meet. And to the kind man who made me very aware of the situation, thank you very much.
Yeah. He didn't probably try and drug you. He definitely tried to drug you.
Yeah. 100,000%.
I mean, why would you just leave? I don't know. That was, I mean, smart. She's like, yeah, if it's a joke, then do it.
Yeah, chug it. It's so scary.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, that's just not something you ever think about when you're on a like happy place. You're having a drink.
Yeah.
Things are loose.
Yeah. Because I mean, you're told like never let your drink out of your sight, you know, and when you're at a club or like you're at a, like you're dancing somewhere, it's like, yeah, definitely never leave your drink out of your sight. Like always be aware of the situation. But when you're on a date with like
a second date
with someone that you've been talking to for a couple weeks, like you think everything is totally fine and whatever, like it's not unreasonable to think that someone would be like, oh, I'm just going to run to the bathroom, because you trust that person. They haven't given you a reason not to trust them.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's just scary. Like some people are really just bad and they hide it. Yeah. People in the comments are like, ask the bar if they have CCTV footage. You can use it to flag his face for themselves and any other local bars.
Yeah, I wonder if she has any pictures with him. Probably not.
No, she said, I don't have any pictures of him, but I'm really hoping the CCTV footage exists.
At a bar? It's tough. Probably not.
Yeah, people are saying it was really quick thinking to ask him to chug it. And OP said, thank you, I was delusional and naive about everything, but him not chugging it is what made me so suspicious I couldn't be at peace. If someone accused me of trying to drug them, I'd chug their drink even if I had no plans of ever seeing that person again. Just as a, you think I'd do that? Fuck you. It's just so weird how he assured me that's not a problem at all and then just disappeared.
Very unsettling.
Yeah, he deleted all his social media. Yeah, this guy had really terrible intentions. So, big thank you to that man who waited outside the bathroom and alerted her to that, because I don't even want to think about what could have happened had she drank it.
Yeah.
But anyway, why don't we move on to our slightly more lighthearted story?
Sure.
It still has to do with stalking, but it's more lighthearted. It's titled...
A lighthearted stalker.
Yeah, you know, it's titled, I'm the Stalker.
Okay.
Okay.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it? That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NoCD.com.
TV shows and movies usually depict abductors driving white or black vans. I didn't realize this until I decided to buy a white 1994 Dodge Ram cargo van to haul some of the gear I needed for work. While driving it, I've been pulled over by cops and searched 3 times for no reason, but that is another story. The point is, some people see vans as suspicious. One day, while returning home, a woman pushing a stroller stared at me for a long time while I drove along my home street. We have speed bumps, and I had a lot of expensive, delicate gear in my van, so I was driving very slow. She stared at me, wide-eyed, the entire time, so I smiled at her, like a friendly neighbor does. She was staring so intently, she almost walked the stroller right off the edge of the curb. I thought it was funny and almost forgot about it. A week later, our HOA email thread heats up when a resident sends out a notice that his wife and toddler were being stalked by a man in a white van. Fearing a pitchfork and torch mob mistaking me for the creeper, I replied to all, saying I live in the neighborhood and also drive a white van. I even provided my license plate number and home address, which was a big mistake. Jokingly, I added that I also witnessed a suspicious person in the neighborhood, a woman with a stroller who was staring at me so long and hard it made me uncomfortable.
That's really funny. It is not the time.
I provided the date/time of the incident to see if their alleged stalker was actually me. It was. Dude got triggered. He started sending email after email, CCing everyone on the list, telling me he can read between the lines of what I was saying. His accusations became more and more ludicrous and turned into personal attacks. Several neighbors on the email list replied that he was behaving badly. The emails eventually stopped, but things got even weirder. On several occasions, while out walking my dog, a 10-ish-year-old girl would come out of her house, run over to me, awkwardly chat me up about my dog, and give me strange, intimate details of her life. I wondered why this child was talking to strangers, but thought maybe she just knew me from the neighborhood, so I politely played along. Then one day, the girl shows up at my house. She said she was angry because her dad wouldn't let her have a dog like mine, so she wanted to visit my dog for a while. I told her I needed to talk to her parents before I could ever let her visit my home like this. She said, okay, and left, and I never saw her anymore. I have 2 daughters, and one of their friends told me the girl who was chatting me up is the daughter of the triggered dude from the HOA email list. He had been sending her out to talk to me and taking pictures. My daughter's friend was friends with this bait girl. The poor girl's dad was making his own daughter uncomfortable, which is why she confided in her friend. The dad was sending his daughter out to chat with me so he could accuse me of I don't know what. One detail I forgot to mention, I have dash cams in all my vehicles and CCTV monitoring my front door. So the initial incident with the wife, as well as the girl coming to my door, were recorded. I emailed the triggered dude and kindly offered him copies of the videos of each incident. I also told him I was concerned his daughter was behaving inappropriately towards strangers. Apparently, this scuttled his plan, as I never heard from him again. That's messed up.
Yeah, not cool. You're sending your daughter out as bait?
Yeah, that is beyond not cool.
Like, what if he really was?
Exactly. That is beyond not cool.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You're, like, intentionally putting your daughter in danger.
Yes.
So it's not about her. It's about you.
100%. Yeah. Actively putting your daughter in harm's way for a man that, I mean, best case scenario, he just is annoyed with that man and is like, whatever. But worst case scenario, his wife was like scared of him and he's like trying to prove that this man is actually dangerous by using his daughter. Like, that is insane. It seems like it's just like a fuck this guy kind of thing and I'm gonna accuse him of something, you know. I'm going to get like evidence that makes him look bad and maybe like run him out of the neighborhood. But that's like, that's best case scenario, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess this isn't really like a stalker. This is just an unhinged reaction to what they thought was a stalker.
The whole beginning part just made me laugh though, that he was like, I found a weird person in our neighborhood too. And it was this woman pushing a stroller. She was staring at me in my van. I was driving slowly because there's speed bumps and really delicate equipment in my truck. She was staring at me. And so I smiled her like any neighbor would.
Yeah.
That one just made me giggle. I was like, wow. I mean, the whole dad using his daughter as bait thing is obviously unhinged and awful, but the beginning part where he's like, oh, I'm the stalker. Whoops.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, he handled it very well.
He definitely did.
He definitely seemed like he kept this cool and just without a shadow of a doubt had all the receipts.
Yeah. No,
that also has two daughters.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, the dash cam and the, I'm sure he has like a Ring camera or something, like a camera at his front door. Is very good to have.
Yeah.
In situations like this.
Yeah. I mean, if somebody's going to be that type of person, they're not going to give you their address that you can just show up to.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Someone commented, seriously smart move to have a dash cam in a creepy white van to prove you're not a creep.
Yeah. That is hilarious, the use of it.
Yeah. And OP said, agreed. Someone also commented, have you ever thought about pressing charges? And OP said, no, I value neighbors as one of the most important relationships to have, so was really trying to be nice about it all. I don't even know if they still live in the same place. He really outed himself as crazy to everyone when he emailed the whole list. My biggest concern is for their child. She seemed smart and kind enough, though.
Seems like a really good guy.
Seriously. You know? Yeah, like, this is the kind of person you want to have the white van in your neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, just in your neighborhood in general.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
So, wow. Okay. Yeah. Didn't think we would be having that perspective. I thought we were going to have like a story where somebody was just kind of, I don't know, naive from a male perspective.
Oh,
and then like somebody was like, you're following me at night and you're like, well, we have class at the same time and we live at the same dorm. So I don't know.
Yeah. I could also see that being a situation where someone's like, oh no, I'm accidentally being perceived as a stalker. I'm really sorry.
Well,
like,
that has happened to me before because in college I would get off the bus and, you know, I'd want to go get like Pancheros.
Yeah. Which is basically like Chipotle, but of the Midwest.
But better.
Yeah. And, it is better.
You know, I'm drunk and I'm just getting off the bus.
Yeah.
And a girl got off in front of me. And I find myself going in the same direction 20 feet behind her.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, how can I put her at ease? Because I'm her, I'm freaking out right now.
Yeah.
So I'm like, is it weirder if I cross the street? Is it weirder if I slow down? Should I speed up and get in front of her? But then that like initial part is...
Yeah, if you run at her, that's even worse.
Yeah, it's like, even worse. I'm like, okay. I'm like, my best option is to cross the street.
Yeah.
So I crossed the street and then she like ran.
Wow.
And I was like,
oh, poor girl.
You know, I'm trying here.
No, yeah, that's not on you. That's just unfortunately like the world we live in.
I'm not a stalker. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's what you do. I've seen so many TikToks of men who are like trying to signal like on a hiking trail or something that they're a safe person, and they keep saying like I don't know, like just like a bunch of gay shit. Like,
yeah.
They're like, oh honey, you look fabulous. Like, yes mama, yes dear, like have you seen season 2 of RuPaul's Drag Race? Because I have, and I loved it.
Yeah,
with my gay boyfriend.
Yeah. That is funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like I've been in some situations like that where I'm like, I can't help this.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not something that you can help, but it's good that you're aware of it. And it's good that you're trying to ease any kind of uncomfortable feeling that someone might be feeling, because, you know, it's kind of just the world we live in where that's the sad reality is that as women walking alone home at night, you're scared if there's someone with you or walking behind you.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be fair, I'm scared too. Like, literally anyone's walking behind me.
Sure, yeah. Know? But, yeah, no,
I get it. It's, like, definitely.
It's definitely very different. But
much
it's,
more intense.
Yes,
but yeah.
100%. Yeah. I'm still thinking about that guy who used his daughter as bait, though.
Yeah, that's another level. I just don't know how you get to that point as a parent where you're so blinded with, like, I don't know what's going on. If you're blinded with hate or what, to where you put your daughter in that situation.
It's just dangerous for everyone because it's like, it's dangerous for the daughter, obviously,
right,
to put her in that uncomfortable situation with someone that you really don't know. and like could potentially think is dangerous. And then also he could have been doing that to like put that man in jail. Like best case scenario, he was just annoyed at his neighbor. And like, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know what the motive is, but like he could have potentially been trying to like get evidence to put that neighbor who had the van in jail, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. What if he was what he thought?
Right.
You know, because if you send her in, you know, you're across the street. Who knows what's going to happen before you have time to react or call the police?
Yeah, it is so unbelievably reckless and like evil in my mind, to be honest. Like to use your daughter in that way, that's so beyond messed up.
Yeah, well, this guy handled it pretty well.
Yeah, he definitely did.
All things considered, you know?
He definitely did.
And I wonder if he just would have painted his car a different color.
Oh, instead
if this all would have been avoided?
Like a pink van instead of a white van?
Yeah, or I don't know, yellow or something. Pink is a little obnoxious, but
I was just trying to think of like what's the least creepy color van.
That's true.
I feel like pink is...
Pink's up there.
One of them.
For sure.
He definitely handled it the right way. But yeah, those are our Reddit Let's Not Meet stories. What was your favorite, I guess? Or like what's one you're going to keep thinking about? For me, it might be the stranger under the bed.
Yeah, that one, tough to leave. Like, I guess I'm glad that for that one, the person was facing away.
Yeah.
Because that is definitely so much, it's still incredibly jarring and terrifying, but not as much. You know, you like go under the bed to another pair of eyes.
Oh, God. Yeah,
absolutely
that's
not.
Nightmare fuel. And the wedding one, the guy who was like normal at the wedding, but then hiding in the back of her trunk, like...
Yeah.
It's just such a weird thing because I feel like the whole like wedding trope is like you go to a wedding and you're like, oh, I'm gonna find someone to like have a night with, you know?
Right.
And she was doing that. Like she was having so much fun and like she was really clicking with that guy. And then she went out to her car because he like left. Like if he was still there, they probably would have continued having a good time and like very easily could have left together. But then he left before her. And so she went to her car and she was, you know, found him in the back seat. It's so crazy.
Another detail of that story that was weird is like the guy told the husband, he's like, oh, I'm feeling sick, I'm gonna go home. And then she was like, oh yeah, I'm also feeling sick, let me go drive.
Yeah,
you know, I was like, have you guys all been drinking or what?
Oh, I don't know if it was an alcohol thing. I mean, maybe it was like a food thing. Like I don't know if they got just had a little bellyache. I'm hoping
that's
it's not
a dumb thing for me to fixate on, but it is something I thought about. Yeah, the one that's going to stick with me is the man who was stalking the 15-year-old.
Yeah, like, one was scary.
You know, if I think about being a parent and the fact that he was just hunting her is just so unsettling. And I feel like it would make me crazy, just at least in my initial reaction to it, because it's so scary.
Yeah, it's terrifying. I can't imagine being that girl on that bus. That is so scary. Anyway, yeah, that is terrifying. Those are all of our Reddit Let's Not Meets. I hope you enjoyed them, even though it's a scary topic, stalkers, you know? But anyway, if you enjoyed that and want to hear more of them, there's more over on a Patreon, like we mentioned in the beginning. And that's really all I have to say about that. What is your good thing?
My good thing this week is that I am interviewing for jobs, and I had a few this week that I felt went pretty good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my good thing. I finally had a string of interviews. I felt like I did pretty close to my best.
Totally. Yeah, it was definitely a good week, and we're hopeful. We're manifesting.
I did not fumble the bag. Just waiting. Going to wait to hear back. But I am feeling good about that.
Hell yeah.
So what's your good thing?
Well, to be so honest, it is a tough week. Shit feels bleak, but I am doing my best to stay optimistic and focus on the things that I can control. You know?
Yeah.
There's so much that is out of my hands that makes me feel very helpless and scared and, you know, whatever, but I am one person, but also like we can do some good work in the next couple of years and like do what we can. I don't know. I feel like I don't really know how to fully express what I'm feeling, but I'm just doing what I can to remain as positive as possible.
Yeah. Not lose your mind.
Yeah. Not absolutely lose my mind, because that feels like a really easy thing to do right now. And if we wanted to end on a not so negative note, Another good thing is that Wicked is coming out, and I'm really excited.
I was like, the first one wasn't really a good thing.
No, it's not. But my point was, is like, it's a hard time to like have a good thing for me. But Wicked is coming out, and I am excited to see it. And I've been seeing some really fun promo for it, and all the like premieres, and you know, the carpets, and I just love the musical to begin with. Like, I grew up loving it, and I think it's going to be a great movie. People were kind of concerned about the whole Ariana Grande thing in the beginning, but I was always on board, and I am excited to see how it turns out. And I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, she's talented for sure.
I mean, talented. I mean, you know? Talented doesn't even really cover it. Like, she's trained with like the original Glinda, and like completely like transformed her voice like for this role specifically, and like really leaning into the whole musical theater thing. I mean, she's a musical theater girl to begin with, so I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be awesome, and Cynthia Erivo is unbelievably amazing. So
yeah, didn't know that detail. So
yeah,
she put in the work.
She did. You know? She put in the good work.
And I don't think I've ever seen Wicked in any capacity.
I can't wait for you to see it. It's awesome.
Yeah, so to have Ariana Grande be a part of it the first time, and it seemed like a lot of money and effort went into it.
Yeah, so much money.
How bad could it be?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I'm hoping it's good, because movie musicals can sometimes be not so great, and I'm putting a lot of hope into this one.
Yeah, it's got to be done well.
Definitely. But anyway, thank you all so much for listening. We have bonus episodes coming out this week. Head over to patreon.com/nottodaypodcast to get access to a bunch of bonus episodes and other Reddit Let's Not Meet stories. We post pictures of all the stories we talk about over on Instagram at nottoday_podcast. I am a little behind, but I'm doing my best. If you or anyone you know has a story of survival that you'd like to share with us and possibly hear an upcoming listeners episode, send it to notodaypodcast@gmail.com. We have a TikTok that is Not Today Podcast, and a Twitter that's Not Today Podcast, but the T on the podcast is a 3.
Because that makes sense.
And just keep breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.